the DK805 podcast. This is Christy and Katrina. I just wanted to take the time to introduce ourselves. We've decided to go live because we're in hopes of building a YouTube channel now. And why we decided to do that, we had a wonderful opportunity to go down to the Hopeaholics. Katrina set that up, and I'll let her tell you how she set that up and how it's inspired us to connect on a deeper connection with our listeners and audience.
That connection was really, really, just looking back, it was the first podcast I found after my son, Dylan, transitioned home May 22, 2022. And in that weeks following, the months following, I just started finding everything I could find to help me while I was in the early stages, very early stages. And I came across the Hopeaholics podcast. And in that, I just like messaged out. I don't even know why. I just was like, everything I was hearing was just, there were so many people that were coming on talking about what we're talking about now. And they were in that journey then, and we're here now. And I reached out, and they had wanted me to come down then and share my story. I even said yes. I think I said yes right away, and then back and forth a little bit. I just completely decided that was not something I could do that early. And then here we are now, 3 years later. And their podcast was started after losing a young man to fentanyl as well. And it grew out of love from that to help other people. And now we're connected by that because we joined ourselves together in this, in our meeting, and our boys, and their passing, transitioning home. And we were asked again to come down to the Hopeaholics, and we had that full circle of the connection there, and it was beautiful. They're beautiful people in recovery, and they are such a source for help, for hope in recovery, for those in active addiction, for those seeking recovery, and those in grief. And they are just a wonderful podcast.
And I had found the Hopeaholics before. In fact, I actually sent the Hopeaholics to Devin because I was drawn to the name Hopeaholics. Mm-hmm. And when you had mentioned going down to them, I had to go back in my text messages thread with Devin, and I mm-hmm. indeed did send it to him. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has helped me, you mentioned Dylan's passing date as 5/22/22.
Right.
And Devin's passing date was 6/6/24. And in my brain, I kept saying 6/6/24. Of course, fentanyl's the devil's drug. But one of the things that I got from you is that there's hope. And in having you restore or nudge me more towards being open to having faith is I just recently learned that there's 666 books in the Bible as well. So sometimes grief goes on perspective. It's perspective of the challenges we've been asked to endure. We can't change what's happened.
Right.
I mean, that window of time is gone for us.
Right.
And so what we can do is lean into each other with hope, with faith.
Healing.
Right. Spreading the message that it's our responsibility to recover, not only for ourselves but for our other children.
Right, that's right. It's like we're left here to keep going on. It's you kind of feel like in those early stages of grief that there should just be this magic like encapsulation that you just are not going to have to do anything but grieve, and that just doesn't happen. You have especially when there's younger children, which we had at the time at home, expectations of what they needed to try to make sure they were processing and being okay and sort of protecting them like we did when the active addiction was happening, but also just the people that still need us here. For you went back to work so soon after. I wanted to just...
I did. I went back to work almost immediately because one of my coping mechanisms is distraction. I don't know if that's necessarily healthy all of the time, but it's what I felt like I needed to do, and I went back to work almost immediately because I knew that I had 5 days of bereavement through my company, but I know that I wanted to save that for Devin's celebration of life because
I have to just kind of touch on, I just have to, because I hear that and I hear 5 days of bereavement and I...
That's unheard of, right?
It's something to have a whole nother, lifetime of talk about.
Because bereavement for us is a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime, but I...
Yeah.
I just wanted to... Jacob, my younger son, had a trip planned with his friend, and she... And that was a very important trip for him, so yeah. I wanted to be able to provide with Jacob. So even in my difficult time of my own grieving, I still knew I had to take care of my younger son. And I would always tell Jacob in the early stages is that we can do hard things. We'll get through this together. I can't have you self-destruct. I need you, which is interesting that this is the terms I would use. Mm. Because I would tell him, I need you to be strong. But what does strong even mean? I don't even know what that means. Because when I hear people say strong, I'm like, do I have a choice?
Right.
I mean, what
right.
am I?
Right.
Do I have a choice?
Well, no. We had three younger siblings, step siblings in the home, and graduating high school with trip planned to Europe, and that was a planned trip, and it was, you know, we wanted her to go and have the most beautiful time. Didn't cancel that for her. That was something she had expected and looked forward to for so long, and so for that reason, she was not at the service. She was not at the celebration of Dylan's life for that reason. She was with us in spirit, of course, but she was in her journey, and that was all those things you just look at. It's like, it doesn't make sense, but nothing makes sense. So you have to find a way to make sense out of all of these components that are going on around you. What can work for that in that moment? And first, like just, you know, giving, the joy for these children that are, you know, younger, already having processing. And we can say that we kind of maybe protected them along the way from everything that Devin and Dylan were going through when, you know, there's siblings in the home. But they are feeling every, you know, it's very hard to even just look back and remember how I must have felt or even just in, I mean, they can feel it. You know, it's energy, right?
So absolutely.
I was maybe a calm persona in my mind, but it's a vibration when you're in the rescue and save mode. And if I can say anything, just in that time, I didn't know to like reach out then for like healing tools then. I would say that, like the Al-Anon ways of self-care, halting, learning to pause and reflect versus like the rescue mode. But it's that, even that is hard because there's nothing you won't do when you're in that trying to save mode.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Devin's illness started so young in life that I did have that window of time through his illness to reach out for the tools.
Yeah.
But even with that being said, the morning that Devin passed away, I became a different person. I'm not the same person. Part of, I always do this.
That Katrina's
tears,
gone.
Maybe.
That Christy.
It's gone. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
So our family gets to know a new version as we learn that version.
All my children get to know a different mom.
Yeah.
And one of the hard things for me is watching my other children watch me and feel like they have to take care of my pain.
Yeah.
When I just constantly try to tell them it's my responsibility to take care of my pain.
Yeah.
And as a mom, I didn't hang up my hat. I still have other children.
Mm.
But when I go outside, it's easy to look at what I've done in my grief now. Like when Devin was alive, there were moments where I would go outside and I would look at families and I would think that they had the perfect life. Now I'm walking a different path, and now when I go outside and
there's
I see
those... There's no perfect life.
No, but now I wonder, like at the parks, now I have a level of empathy and compassion to recognize You don't know what you don't know.
Right. What that person's feeling inside, what their experience, what they just came from. Just having kindness and compassion, which is what we started with our wording together and how we wanted this to feel to people, that there's so much, we're so polarized right now with everything going on, and just the news can make, everybody is, you know, kind of feeling, there's so much going on in the world, turning that down, and if we can just tune more into, like, that all we can do is sort of that self-care, like I was talking about, you know, putting our own mask on first so we can be, you know, able to process everything that's going on, not working with, gosh, the shame and stigmas that are attached to, and here comes Shadow. Here's the other angel that has always
Shadow.
Been a part of.
This is our real lives. These are our fur babies.
So this is Dylan's little shadow. He would just, whenever he would be heading out the door, I would just say, so you're going to leave like that? You're going to leave if we had just finished maybe a not so great conversation. And he would always say, but I'm going to say goodbye to Shadow. You
know? Oh, and what a beautiful memory.
I know.
If he can't say goodbye to me, he said goodbye to Shadow.
Always.
He always left in love, though.
Always, always left in love. And he just, again, pure love and light, those boys and our boys. But just remembering that yes, we have a different view now. We always will, our perspective for sure. Did I even think that my son would not have found that recovery tool, that one more chance would not be his? As we know, relapse is a part of everybody that is in recovery. But it is with the fentanyl and the crisis of fentanyl and the xylazine and the carfentanil and the nitazines that are, they're changing daily. They're changing weekly. We're hearing about them. And this is a current epidemic. It is not, it is, if we talk about levels of like statistics, it is, you know, from 2,000 in this area alone, that's 805 in this county alone, there's still, in just this last year, so 2,000 from the previous year, 2024, 2025, is still 1,930 young lives, you know, age 18, sometimes, most times it can be 14 to 35 that are still losing their lives every year, and this is daily that it's happening. We touched on this the last episode, just the podcast of just a recent family, young boy, of just this new drug that is being, is being found.
Absolutely.
Bought a fake pill and they found him. And this, we just send all our love and prayers to that family. And if they come across this, may they just reach out too. But we're.
And if you look at that statistic, you're talking about the deceased.
Yeah.
But you're not talking about how that bleeds out to the web of the families.
Right.
You multiply that statistic for the family members.
That's right.
Current day, in my younger son's generation, most people know somebody who has passed away.
They do.
I personally know 7 people.
It's so wrong. It's so hard.
I mean, 7 people just from my graduating class. Mm. And so when I graduated high school, and that's still in the 805 area code, I didn't know that many people.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody at the time. And now I look at my younger child and how he thinks it's just
sort of like a
normal.
Part of this life, like a normalized part of this life. And that's what we want to change. We want this generation to have hope. We want there to be a change. We want to know that you can be sober, and sober can be cool, and you can do. My son loved to skateboard, and Dylan skateboarded, and he would say often, like, he just couldn't concept that would be, you know, that you could skate sober. There was a lot of people that he followed, like, you know, the heavy skateboarder, you know, that Brandon Novak, who has a wonderful, wonderful channel to follow, a podcast that I look at often, and I will post on ours, because there's that harder edge, the look, but he's completely sober. He shares his story, the depths, and he recovered, and that is his joy, as he says it, to be able to share his story, but also knowing that he shares the work that it takes for that story to have happened. And so when you're, just in that age group that we're talking about, that is, reach out to community that are doing, that that feels better, is that more healing space, because you don't have to live in that, like, that's what we want to do, is sort of raise
that
awareness.
Absolutely, because right now...
We don't want to normalize that's death.
We want to normalize the sobriety, but one of the things that we're recognizing now is that we're in recovery.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things when we went down to the Hopeaholics podcast that we talked about. We walked on the beach, and we're going to put these pictures up on the website. We
such built this... Such a beautiful memory.
It's such a beautiful memory.
Yeah.
We wrote the DK in the sand with rocks, and we could see the waves behind us.
And I found I love sea glass, and I was like, darn it, I'm not going to find that blue sea glass. And it was a perfect round blue
sea glass, and it was a circle. And because there is no beginning and there's no end. And so Katrina held up, she's like, look what I found. And I'm like,
My signs.
Yeah, it was her sign, but it came in the form of a circle, because there really is no beginning and there is no end.
Yeah.
So in those moments where we're in recovery, we're learning how to recover, and we want to reach out to those other parents and hope that what we share, that we want you to recover as well. And as recovery is as individual for us as it was for our children.
Right.
And so the ultimate goal is, it's so weird, because it's not live better, because my life isn't better without my son in it. It's to live wiser. It's to be better. It's to be a better person, be a better human, to be less judgmental.
Right.
Some of the things that I learned through this journey myself is how I can look at somebody and assume or make it a presumption that they're okay.
Mm.
And I've been... I don't like using the word victim, but I've been the target of people assuming I'm not grieving based on how I look.
How you carry yourself.
Or how I laugh, or if I'm smiling, that I must not be grieving.
Yeah.
That's such a false statement.
It's a whole other stigma that is just so unfair, the expectations of how someone needs to look when they're grieving. Because so we're supposed to carry on about life, but then we're supposed to do it with... a look for someone else, which is just, it's a false narrative. We can't live in that illusion. We need to break that stigma. We need stigmas to be broken where, if you see someone that if it's in a safe situation and it doesn't, and you're not in harm's way, because I say this because I did in the early stages, we've shared that, any young person that resembled the age of my son, or just looking like a little, maybe lost looking at, my desire was to make sure that person knew that they're, did they need to, call their mom, or just to feel that they weren't alone. And, you have to be safe about those things, but I also needed to do those things. They were part for my healing of just, it gave me, and it still does give me comfort, but you have to be safe. We don't ever know what stage someone's in. And with that, there's compassion that we can have for another human that we do not know what they're going through at all, and that what we can do is just be a smile and be kindness and non-judgment, and that's how we can start healing what's going on, I think, in this generation.
Absolutely. And if recovery is possible for those struggling with addictions or substance, recovery is possible for us. Not that we'll be the same person, but I can be more aware. Mm-hmm. I can be kinder. I can reach out my hand.
I always say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Christy, but if I knew then what I know now, so it's sort of like the tools. I only had the tools I had then, which how we were both, in that where they're different journeys, but the same, and that, we were using the tools we had from our own personal experiences, how to implement that with our boys and what we thought was the best, and what we did everything. And if there was a rock unturned, then tell me what that rock was, because I felt I turned them all over. But it is this epidemic now of these drugs that do not give you one more chance. And that is what we're trying to raise that awareness. But what we're learning now, we can do better now because we're learning as we're going better tools to persevere as we have to. And I know that my Dylan wants me to do that. And I know that Devin is, that's how we got joined. I know that they're in this walk with us and to help raise awareness and they know better now, and they know, you know, I hear Dylan say to me all the time, just keep doing the work, Mom.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And I would always tell Devin, thank you for being brave. Yeah. Every time he went into treatment, I would say, thank you for being brave.
Yeah.
And so to any of the listeners here, I would encourage us all to be brave. Be brave in the face of saying no.
Yeah.
Saying no to those drugs. That takes courage. That's courageous. Because I don't know if we all live in a society, but acceptance is something that most of us want in life. It's probably far and few between that don't want that acceptance. I mean, I don't know anybody
to fit in.
So if fitting in means,
if
fitting in means taking a substance, be brave. Be brave for yourself. Be brave for your friends. Leave those situations because it's dangerous. And we want a future for you. We want you to have what I want you to have, what my boy couldn't have. And I am thrilled every time I see somebody living.
There's so many beautiful
people
that are sharing their stories and this community of recovery and the work that it takes, which is a reminder. It is the work of a warrior to get to be sober, to be young and be sober, to get outside of that acceptance of just for yourself, loving yourself for who you are. We talked about that, like just
Absolutely.
Being okay with who you are and just getting to know yourself, to give yourself that gift of taking that time to be, you know, who am I? And that's what matters, your relationship with yourself, God and yourself, how you find peace, how you seek healing, anything that's, you know, the traumas that, you know, come in. That's the other thing we will get on. We will touch into future episodes. The traumas that do affect our children, young people, our own lives as we grew up, and how that generational trauma can be healed and needs to be worked on, because it's like it just keeps going forward.
Absolutely.
If we don't, we're trying to break cycles. We're trying to break
the stigma
for it's a big part. I think just breaking this generational trauma of like let it begin healing now for our children. This to stop, to have it be this generation, to let our boys be their soldiers.
They were, and our children were, I've always said this, our children were on the front line of this opiate epidemic. But one of the things that we want to recruit our listeners to be those warriors to spread the positive messages that recovery is possible. Sobriety is the new cool, you know, and just keep working. If you trip and fall.
This one here, this Just for Today, and I ordered this off of a beautiful podcast. That's the Punk Rock Recovery.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She's
Amanda.
So beautiful. She's so inspiring.
And she's so artistic and just beautiful soul, and she talks about the work and the healing of her own, childhood traumas, and just and she just has an amazing to reach out to if you are in active addiction, or you're a mom that has a child that resonates with that, you know, the skateboarding and that harder sort of, you know,
punk
with Devin
rock.
It was music and the punk rock
Did I tell you I ordered her beanie?
I love that.
I did. No, and I got her sweatshirt too, so I can't.
I'm going to have to get one and we'll wear it.
Absolutely. But I can't wait for people to ask me what the Undead Club means.
So,
if you can find her on Punk Rock Recovery.
That's right. She has a whole line of really beautiful streetwear and things that are just, this journal, like I said, that I journal a lot. It's very healing, but, just writing down the notes, but it's a beautiful message. You just have to. There's lots of resources out there, and like I said, within just one post that she saw of ours, she reached out to us. And this is the loving community that is out there. She is in her recovery, in her sobriety. She, within just hearing our podcast, was so touched by that. She touched our heart so deeply. She, within 20 minutes, sent us both this beautiful picture of our boys artistically done with her art. With their wings, and Dylan with his skateboard, and Devin with his music. And it's just a beautiful gift. And that's the community that gives you like that hope that there are so many people to reach out to. You are not alone. So if you're in active addiction or and you're seeing this, or if you're the mother in with a child, and if you're in where we are with grief, we are here to help you with any resources we found along the way, and we want to hear from you, and this is our, you know, our journey to help.
Absolutely, and you can find us at the DK805podcast.com. Reach out to us. We're on Spotify. Katrina does a wonderful job on Spotify. That's probably the best place. She does a wonderful job. We have a website as well.
It's Instagram.
What am I saying?
So Spotify and Apple, you can see the, you can hear the episodes.
Yeah, this is the imperfect part of me. That's why there's two of us
perfect,
here.
Perfect, right? The Instagram is the one that I'm running, and then Christy has the Facebook.
Yeah, but the Instagram's much better. Check her out on Instagram because she's on top of it. And she does a wonderful job. And you can listen to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. We're building our YouTube channel now, so follow us on YouTube. We're just excited to be part of this journey. We're excited to share our healing.
And just for today.
This is my soul sister here, and I'm so grateful I found her. And how we connected was through the internet. And so the internet is a healing tool. Use it for the right reasons.
Use it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.